Well, brethren, let us once again pray and ask for God's help as we come to consider his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us to this hour, and with the songs that have been sung, scriptures read, prayers offered, now we come before the preaching of your word, praying that you will cause your word to go forth and to accomplish the thing which you determined it should accomplish today. To the end, that you will be glorified in our midst, and that every knee in this place would bow, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that we all may be included in that role as we are sung, we are called up yonder. Lord, we ask that you would come by your Spirit. You know the need of every soul in this room. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so out of your perfect knowledge of each of us, come, Lord, in your mercy, in your kindness, in your grace, and minister to each of us that we may serve you with all of our heart in this life to your glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, brethren, please open your Bible to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I'll read through the psalm once again, especially for those who may not have been with us in the previous hour, to get the context and our consideration this morning. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. Now, as we continue in this psalm, in the previous hour, just by way of reminder, introduction, I liken this song to a pilgrim psalm, as a traveler on a journey going home. And on this journey, the traveler is not being led by a compass, but the traveler is a believer, and the Christian is being led by the Lord God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and God our Father is our shepherd. There's one God, there's one shepherd, and we are being led by the triune God as we live in this world, and God leads us into various circumstances, situations, joys, trials, afflictions, etc. And in all these things, the faithful shepherd is going to lead us safely home. That is to be with him one day in glory. And so we have considered how the activity of the shepherd, and as David is articulating how the Lord Jehovah is his shepherd, he shall not want. And we looked at green pastures, still waters, These are metaphors that is describing the various experiences of God's people. And as I also said in the introduction, the closer you walk with God, the more you will understand Psalm 23. If you are not walking with God, then Psalm 23 is kind of far beyond the life that you're living. You just can't relate to it. It doesn't really speak to your soul. But when you're walking with God and you're trusting Him and you're seeking to obey Him, even in the various difficulties and trials and even joys of life, then this psalm will begin to speak to you. And Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And this psalm will bring a lot of comfort and encouragement to you. In the last hour, we actually ended at verse 5, where we read, the psalmist says, David, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over." And there we noted that for the child of God, when the Christian is in the presence of enemy and opposition, and you think of persecution, by the way, who knows how things are going in our nation, what may be in store for us. Again, I'm not a prophet trying to tell you the future, but my head isn't in the sand. I listen to what's going on. I see and I follow things carefully, and it's not a far reach or jump of the thought that we could find ourselves in very difficult times in this land. But, however, when the believer is face to face with his enemies in opposition and persecution, God does not leave us. God will not forsake us. And there God will encourage us and strengthen us. And even Jesus says, when men persecute you or say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, what did Jesus say? Rejoice. And there's the table. That table is the blessings of salvation. That is our relationship with Him. That's why you need to walk with God day by day. Be faithful in the little, brethren, and you will be faithful in the much. Walk with God. Live for Him. Serve Him. And so that when great things come your way, nothing changes for you. You continue to walk with Him. You continue to serve Him. So in the presence of my enemies, God is providing this hospitality. And so there we ended last hour. Now we come to verse 6. And verse 6 is really the conclusion of the matter. This word, surely, verse 6, is an emphatic term. It's a strong term. He says, surely. That is, in the light of all the things that he has said previously, the fact that the Lord, who is the covenant-keeping God, who is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, this one is my shepherd. I shall not want. He has led me in green pastures, still waters. He restores my soul. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because he is with me. And even though in the presence of enemies, this being the case, therefore, surely, you see how it comes? In light of all of these things, in other words, it's like what Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall separate me from the love of God in Christ? Right? It's the same type of attitude, mindset as Paul expressed in Romans chapter 8, here in this word, surely. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. forever. You see, the blessing of the child of God, we know what the end of our life is. We know where we're going. We know how we're going to get there. Although we may not know all of the details, we know that God is going to bring us through every situation, every hardship, every struggle, whether it's nationally, locally, personally, domestically, ecclesiastically, within the church, whatever the realm we find ourselves, the circumstances, we know that what our end is. And so here the psalmist says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know what I do every morning when I pray and I have my devotions? I thank God that his mercies are new every morning. That's one of the things I say. Then another thing I say, and Lord, I know today that your goodness and mercy will follow me today. Although I don't know what this day will bring forth, because Lord, only you know all things. I don't know what's in store for me this day, but one thing I know is that your goodness and mercy will follow me today. It's from this psalm, and just reminding myself, even though I may feel rotten, even though I feel depressed or discouraged or fearful, I pray these words to kind of remind myself to let the word of God speak to my soul and to frame my mind and attitude for the day. So regardless of how you feel, this has nothing to do, well, I really feel like I'm really a happy Christian. I feel pretty good today. No, it's surely the Lord is our shepherd. God is much bigger than how we feel. And therefore we are, our faith is to be in him and in him alone. So surely goodness and mercy, we can say, shall follow me all the days of my life, even today. How are you feeling right now? What kind of night did you have? How was your morning? What's going to face you tomorrow? I don't know. I'm sure we have to prepare, you know, get our things together, go to work, whatever our routine is. But think about those things. In the midst of all of those things, if you are a Christian, God's goodness and mercy is going to follow you. And it's going to follow you every day of your life till he brings you safe to glory. And here is the conclusion of this psalm. It's on a very encouraging note. And then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. People are concerned about the economy. Who's going to be the next president? What's going to happen to me, my family, my children, their children? We're concerned about lots of things, but brethren, we need to keep it all in perspective. Don't forget Psalm 23. Some say, oh, well, that's just, you know, that religious stuff. I need something that's going to help me in the here and now. You're talking about this pie in the sky, this heaven and glory. I really don't care about those things. I need to deal with what's in front of me. But what they fail to recognize is that God is a sovereign Lord, and he is in control of all things in this world. He is in control of the economy. He puts men in office. He set one up. He puts one down, regardless of how we vote. God puts who he wants in the office. God determines. He is working his will. He is, and if the country goes and deteriorates, then God has a purpose in that, and he's going to fulfill his purpose to the glory of his name, to the building of his church. Again, I don't know what the future holds. You don't know what the future holds, but we do know that the Lord is the sovereign Lord, the ruler of heaven and earth, and this God and his Christ, the Lord Jesus, is our shepherd. Amen. And he will be with us no matter what goes on in our lives and in the world around us. And therefore, we can have the confidence, and we should have this confidence, that David ends with, surely Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I know I've been repeating myself, but I want to get it home to your hearts. Now, for some lessons that we can learn from Psalm 23. And the first thing I have here is this. Everyone needs a shepherd. We all need a shepherd. But we don't need a shepherd. We need the Lord God to be our shepherd. We all do. And that's what, when you look in the world about us and people are a part of this group or that group or into this thing or the other, and they seeking to find fulfillment, meaning, satisfaction, security. You know, financial security. If you have it all laid out, your retirement laid out, you could sit back and you could just enjoy your life. You can be assured everything is taken care of. You know, I think about the man who says, I would tear down my barns and build greater barns. And then I would sit back and take my ease and say, eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus says in the parable, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. What good is having financial security if you don't know the Lord? And you leave this world and you have to answer to God because it's been appointed to men once to die. After that comes a judgment. And you don't know the Lord, what good is a healthy bank account in that day? What good is being in the right groups and associations and having a reputation and the awards and recognition of men and of the companies, etc., that this world could offer? What good would those things do you? So we all need a shepherd. Jesus says, well, when we read, I'm just trying not to cough, bear with me. We read in Matthew 9, got a little tickle in my throat, where Jesus looked upon the masses and he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Remember that? Yeah. Jesus had compassion upon the multitudes. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up laborers to go labor in his harvest. And then in the next chapter, Jesus sends the apostles out to go and bring the word and to heal, etc., to bring the message of the kingdom. But when Jesus looked upon the masses of people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And then we also read in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him, that is the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, the problem with mankind, the problem with humanity, the basic problem we have is that we need a shepherd. And when people seek to go their own way, to do their own thing, it leads them to the path of destruction. Just like a sheep. A sheep don't have the wisdom, the foresight, to know what is in their best interest. And so it is with people who don't know the Lord and don't think they need the Lord. We all need a shepherd, and we need the Lord to be our shepherd. And so this is a call. If anyone sitting here, I mean, I know you, many of you, familiar with you all, and but where your heart is in this, when we think about preaching the gospel, we need to see people as sheep without a shepherd. We need to see people the way Jesus saw them. And if there's any here, whether you're young or old and you're not a believer, you need a shepherd. You need the Lord Jesus. You need to come to him. You're not too young and you're not too old and you're not too bad. He is the good shepherd. And Jesus offered salvation to all who would have it. And the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this one you will know to be your shepherd. And so this is the good news that we have to preach to this world. But brethren, the message primarily is for God's people here this morning. And so therefore, some other lines of application and lesson that we can learn from this psalm is this. This psalm helps us cope with change. This psalm, Psalm 23, will help you cope with change. As I said, it's a pilgrim psalm. Life is always changing. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Life is always changing. And this passage in Ecclesiastes often is read at funerals. But it should not be restricted to being read at a funeral or considered at a funeral. It's something we should reflect upon periodically, more frequent than that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. And think about Psalm 23 as I read this. For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. Time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit hath he that works in that wherein he labors? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he hath set eternity in their heart, yet so that man cannot find out the work of God, the work that God hath done from the beginning even to the end. And I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good so long as they live. And we'll just stop there. But as you can see in this passage here, there are seasons, just like summer, winter, spring, fall, there are seasons. And there are seasons in our lives. And these seasons are determined by God. They are determined, and for the believer, every season is tailor-made for the child of God for our good, to make us more like the Savior and to have us know God better. You know, you can know God to an extent. But when God brings you through deep waters and various trials, you get to know him much better. Amen. And when you're walking with his promises and you're holding on to his word, you'll learn, like David could say in Psalm 119, I know more than those who are older than me, that is the ancient ones. I know more because I keep thy commandments. It's not knowing the commandments, it's in keeping the commandments that you learn more about God. It's as we walk in those paths of obedience and of faith. And so here in these seasons, that's why I said in this line of application here, is that Psalm 23 helps us cope with change. Green pastures. They're good, but we're not always in green pastures. Still waters is lovely, but we're not always in still waters. The valley of the shadow of death. the presence of enemies and persecution and opposition. You see, those are circumstances, those are seasons, and for this congregation, brethren, you're in a unique season in the life of this congregation. But the Lord is your shepherd. He will not abandon. He will not forsake you, corporately as a congregation or individually as individuals. And not only that, but you think of other things. We get older. I used to have an afro. I don't have it anymore. It's gone. But the Lord is with me. He's still my shepherd. Things start breaking down in our bodies. We have to be extra careful here, and we are seeing the doctors a bit more, and that increases the older you get. The outward man decays, but the Bible says the inward man is renewed day by day. Our circumstances, of course, Paul says, I have learned in every situation therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, that is, I know how to have nothing and get along with very little. I know how to abound. He says, I've learned the secret, both to be at want and to be in hunger. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Circumstances, our culture, yes, our culture, things that we took for granted. It is shame, it is grievous, and it is shocking that we have to debate about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. There was a time that there was no question about those things, and it is so grievous. And it is a signal and a symptom, rather, of the change that has gone on in our culture, and it continues. And we are shocked and grieved in our churches, as is obvious in this situation. All these changes are governed by God and God's providence. Joseph, I'll read a few verses here. In Genesis chapter 39, you know the life of Joseph, this young man, the son of Jacob, one of his sons, and Jacob favored him. His brothers were jealous, but God had a purpose for Joseph to deliver many people alive. But Joseph went through difficulties. He was accused of sexual harassment. He was arrested unjustly, and he was forgotten in the prison, and his brothers sold him into slavery. I mean, just a lot of things that happened to Joseph that was not fair. It was unjust. And Joseph found himself in different circumstances, but in all of these circumstances and situations, here are some things I just want to read. In Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, we read this. Just some phrases here I want to stand out in your mind. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites that had brought him down there. And what we read this, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord, or in Jehovah, was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Just think of that. He was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to the Egyptian, and he was brought down into Egypt. He doesn't know Egypt, but the Lord was with him. That's what I want to highlight. And then we read this phrase, in verse 21 of this same chapter, we read this, but Jehovah was with Joseph and showed kindness unto him and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph is now in prison. He was there in prison, but we read that the Lord was with Joseph there in prison. And so the whole point is that I'm bringing out, brethren, change, change, change. Life is always changing. But we can cope with change because we know that his goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And we know that we will be in the house of the Lord forever. And we know that the Lord will not leave us nor forsake us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And so we can cope with change. Change is what you're going on, brethren, as a congregation, as individual. Face it courageously, but most importantly, face it in faith, anticipating what the Lord will do, trusting him with all of your heart. He is your shepherd. Third item in a lesson we can learn from this psalm is that God's shepherding is individually personalized. That's a redundant individual personalized saying the same thing, but for emphasis, God's shepherding is individually personalized. We read, David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This shepherding is personally. It is tailor-made. It is just your size. How God deals with you. Your life. You remember Peter, when after Jesus had risen from the dead, and, you know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, 21, Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord. Jesus asks him a second time, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord. Jesus asks him a third time, now, Lord, you're breaking my heart. Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So you see the restoration of Peter. Now, Peter is walking with Jesus. And as Peter is walking with Jesus, John, one of the disciples, is walking behind. And Peter kind of looks around and Peter says, and what shall this man do? And Jesus says, what is that to you? Follow me. In other words, Peter, I'm going to deal with you in a certain way. I'll deal with him. What is it that if I will that he should remain till I return, what is that to you, Peter? Follow me. And then Jesus told Peter, when you were young, you went where you will. When you're old, you're going to be taken to places that is not of your choosing. And Jesus spoke of the matter of death, that Peter would die. And Peter remembers that even in 2 Peter, he's mindful that he is in epistle 2 Peter, we read, Peter mindful that he's going to die soon. And he remembers the things that the Lord has said to him. And so Peter's manner of death, even his manner of death is already prepared. Jesus told him that. But Peter's focus in life is not, well, what is my brother going to do? What is this one going to do? What is that one going to do? But Jesus says, what is that to you, Peter? Follow me. Follow me. And so Jesus deals with them, James and John. You know, James the apostle, he lived to an old age. The book of Revelation, that was revealed to John. But what happened to his brother James? Well, his brother James was killed by the sword in Acts chapter 12 by Herod. James was one of the early martyrs after Stephen. In Acts 12, James, the sons of thunder, he was run through with the sword. That's how he finished his race. You see, God deals with us differently. And so we ought to follow him. Don't get uptight, brethren, and don't get so discouraged when you look at your brethren. my brother is prospering here. Here I'm struggling. She has this. She has that. Here I am. You know, when we compare ourselves to one another, it's not good. I mean, a good way is to follow one another, example, as we follow Christ. That's good. But not to measure and evaluate our life and our circumstances based upon the life and circumstances of our brethren. No. God deals with us individually. And he is shepherding us. He knows what is in your best interest versus the best interests of your brother. And so this shepherding of God to us is individual. Whether our days will be long, whether our days will be short, whether our days will be filled with a bit more trouble than others, or whether we will perhaps have mostly peaceful days and maybe leave this world in a peaceful manner. God deals with us differently. But in his dealings with us differently, God is being faithful because it is the best thing for us. One writer said, where you are today, it is the best place, the best situation for you in all the world that you can be in. Right now, where you are. Because God is your shepherd. The Lord is shepherding you. He is leading you. Green pastures, still waters, you get the idea. There's a time and season under heaven, all ordained by God. Fourth lesson we can learn is that this psalm calls for an unwavering faith in God. This Psalm 23 calls for an unwavering faith in God. When you read through this psalm, there is nothing here that suggests doubt, fear, or anxiety. There's nothing that suggests that. Now, yes, we do have doubts. We do have fears. And we do have anxieties. And we're going to continue to have those things. But this psalm it answers those fears. This psalm, it answers those doubts. This psalm, it answers those anxieties. That's why there was a time where this was read in public schools. Children read Psalm 23. I missed that generation. I was alive, but I was a little baby at the time. Wasn't old enough to be in school. But it's in the 60s where they made a change and took a lot of these things out. But this answers, and it calls for great faith in God. You know, the most secure place that we can be is to be justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most secure place to be on earth. You remember the publican that went to the temple to pray, and he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Jesus said, this man went to his house justified. And if you're justified, that is, if you're right with God, that's just another way of saying you're right with God. There is no controversy between you and God. Your sins are forgiven. Christ is your redeemer, your mediator. If you're right with God, then brethren, you have all that you need. You need nothing else. You need nothing else. And brethren, this is something we must believe with all of our hearts. And we must mold and shape our lives in the light of this conviction. You see, this calls for an unwavering faith in God. In other words, God is enough. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need to know. The Lord is my shepherd. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it is, he will be with me. And if I die, and if he's going to bring me home, He's going to give me the grace to go because he will be with me. He will not forsake me. And I trust him and I leave it all to him. There's a hymn I want to read. I was looking up the number here, and the number is, it's A Debtor to Mercy. It is like 460. Did I write it on this piece of paper? But I think it's 463 or 360. You know what? I find it the way I found it before. I want you to turn to that hymn. Hymn 463, yes. I doubted myself. 463. It's an excellent hymn of assurance. And I love this hymn by Top Lady. Hymn 463. A debtor to mercy alone. Of covenant mercy I see. In other words, the mercy and the grace that I receive from God is covenant mercy. God has made this covenant. And once saved, always saved. You can never lose your salvation. Because he whom he predestined, he called. He justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. There's no such thing as losing one salvation. Impossible. Of covenant mercy I sing. No fear with your righteousness on, my person and offering to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. You know, when you're concerned about whether God's wrath is going to fall upon you in that day, whether or not you're actually going to make it to heaven, you look in the mirror and you see your sins, you see your failings, you see your shortcomings, and you wonder, oh Lord, am I going to make it? But the thing is, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when God sees us, the terrors of law, the threatening terrors of the judgment will not fall upon me because my Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions. All of my sins have been nailed with them to the cross, and I bear it no more. It's another hymn. Romans chapter 6, we were buried with him in baptism and death in Christ Jesus. And just as he rose from the dead, we also walk in newness of life. Our sins was buried with him in the tomb. There is nothing against us. Stanza 2. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yes and amen. And never was forfeited yet. Things future, nor things that are now, nor things below or above, can make him his purpose forego or sever my soul from his love. In other words, there shall be nothing that will separate me from his love. And then I like the last stanza. My name from the palms of his hand. And just think about Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy, right? My name, surely, my name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart, it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Now that last phrase, I love that. When a believer dies, he goes to be with the Lord, right? Amen. Think about brethren you know who have died and gone home to be with the Lord. You've been to funerals. You've heard of the death of brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and now they're home with the Lord. And you say, ah, they made it. They are safe and secure. They made it, but we must struggle on. Here, we're reminded, yes, they made it safely and secure, but we are equally secure as they are. we are equally secure as they are. They are among the spirits of just men made perfect. More now, the difference between us and them is that they're more happy. That's the difference. They're more happy because they have no more sin. We have the joy of the Lord, unspeakable, full of glory. We have that here and now, but we still have the presence of sin, which kind of dampens and dulls and interferes with our joy. But they have no interference of their joy except that they're naked because they are spirits. They don't have a body. And they're longing to be clothed upon, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, they're longing to be clothed upon with a glorified body. And that awaits the return of Jesus, where that pure, justified spirit, that spirit that's been made perfect, will be joined to a glorified body. And it's in that state we spend eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. So right now, there's that separation. The body deteriorates in the earth. But when Jesus comes, that body will be raised incorruptible and will be joined to that perfected soul. And in that state, we will enjoy the glories of the new heavens and the new earth. So the difference between us and them right now is that they're more happy. More happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. I love that hymn. And so, in the spirit of Psalm 23, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. No one. No one. Nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. And brethren, we ought to have this confidence of unwavering faith in God. Live your life. Live your life. And live it to the full. Live it to the full. God is worthy of it. That all men know, not that you're being boastful and arrogant and proud. You just want the joy of the Lord to be evident. Not that you want to, you know, do a performance and fake it and pretend. No, no, we're not talking about that. But just live your life in faith. Oh, there is an eloquence and there is a beauty of a man or a woman who believes the word of God. A man and a woman who truly believes the gospel and believe the promises of God, and it is evident in how they live and how they conduct themselves, all the eloquence and beauty of faith. Live your life, live it to the full, because God will be most glorified. And lastly, this psalm, it helps us deal with vain regrets. We can't undo the past. Oh, I wish my life, I wish I hadn't done that. If I would have taken that opportunity, I could be, and look at where I'm at now, and those are vain. That's vanity. That's vanity. Remember, the Lord is your shepherd. He's with you. Your regrets doesn't upset God's program, if you will, quote unquote, for your life. Everything is right on schedule in your life. Just keep going. Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward to the things that are before. Keep going, brethren. There's nothing against you. He's working all things together for good to those that love him. Don't let the regrets bury you. Yeah, we can have regrets. There's legitimate things we should regret when we look at our past. But brethren, we're not called to live in the past. We're called to walk by faith. Live in the present, anticipating the future. The past is over and gone. And yes, we have the scars from the past. We have bitter memories from the past. And sometimes these things creep up and it affects us and it brings us low. But if it brings us low, remember Psalm 23 and get up and say, no, goodness and mercy is following me today. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. And you just keep going on and walking with God. That's what it means to live by faith. I have a redeemer. I have an intercessor. Christ intercedes for me. My sins have been laid upon a cross. Yes, they were terrible and horrible, and I'm ashamed to even talk of them. But in Christ, his obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. Brethren, we have everything going for us. Not because we're special, we're cute and handsome and talented and wealthy, but because the Lord is our shepherd. Remember that. And may the Lord give us all grace to live this week and every day, beginning with today, not tomorrow, beginning today, that we would know that God's goodness and mercy is following us now. It's going to follow us to the night. He watches over us. He is our keeper. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. Brethren, drink it all in. Drink it all in. And live your life to the full, to the glory of God. Let God be glorified by his grace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the consideration of this psalm and how this sermon cannot do justice to the truth, to the reality of this psalm. But Lord, we thank you that you teach us as we walk with you, as we learn more of you, as we grow in our knowledge of you. And Lord, use this sermon, use this day, use this time, Lord, for your glory in our lives. That we may walk with a greater determination, with a greater faith, that we would bear fruit to the glory of God. We thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that you would glorify your name in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.